The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Artificial intelligence, AI, is everywhere and medicine is no exception. For example, it's been shown to help radiologists more accurately interpret x-rays and scans. There are potential applications for artificial neural networks in research, for information transfer and retrieval, as well as in clinical decision systems. But does it have a role in helping patients get more out of healthcare? To answer that, I'm joined by Dr. Mick Molloy from the Consultant Committee of the Irish Medical Organisation, Associate Professor in Emergency Medicine at UCD. Mick, good morning. How does AI currently help patients in their diagnosis and treatment?
Well, right now, there are a lot of applications of artificial intelligence in healthcare, and some patient programs and applications can help them focus their symptoms towards a diagnosis, but it doesn't quite get all the nuances yet because you're relying on the patient providing the correct prompt to the artificial intelligence itself. So, for example, in the medical sphere, some people would describe a symptom of breathlessness. But when you actually delve into it, they don't mean that they're actually short of breath. What they mean is they feel they need to take a deep breath when they've got a cardiac arrhythmia. So sometimes the nuances can be lost with the artificial intelligence, but it does offer some incredible abilities to synthesize vast quantities of information to come up with solutions to common problems in healthcare right now.
Now, we know when we go on to ChatGPT or Microsoft Copilot or any of those, they talk to us with a human voice, and even their tone tends to be quite human-like. So is there a case that AI will actually do that interrogation to get from the patient exactly the nature of their breathlessness?
I'm not aware of current applications that do that, but obviously, it is possible. What we do in the medical sphere with patients is you're trying to put the symptoms from their language into your medical terminology to try and narrow down the focus. And it is possible over time that the large learning models will come up with better ways to do that. Right now, that's a little way into the future, but there are certainly applications, and I read recently about applications where the medical interaction is being transcribed by an artificial intelligence machine, which makes the consultation more efficient for the individual physician or healthcare provider because they don't have to concentrate on trying to type or write while they're in the middle of the consultation, so they can focus completely on the patient in front of them.
And would that transcription then be able to edit itself? You know, that Dr. Mick Molloy says to the machine, please summarise that half-hour consultation into a 50-word summary.
It could, absolutely. And you've mentioned some of the applications that do that already, like ChatGPT. In the common sense, when we're doing transcription with laptops or desktops or even iPads at the moment, there are some corrections required with the terminology. But as these systems evolve and get better used to our own intonations and even our accents, for example, within Ireland, we've got so many accents. But as the computer systems get used to that, it will become better and better at doing that and provide for a more efficient consultation in future.
Now, in terms of the development of new drugs, there is real potential there because there are so many compounds maybe developed for one particular application in medicine, and it turns out they have very beneficial in other aspects of medicine. I suppose the one that's on the top of the agenda at the moment is Ozempic, where they're talking about it was there as a weight loss drug, etc., helping people with diabetes, but it turns out it may have very beneficial heart effects.
So I'm not up to date or as up to date as I should be on the individual medications that are used in different areas of medicine. However, if you look at it, the molecules that they are can interact in so many different ways with our own biosphere. And it would be very difficult for an individual researcher to actually think outside of their box and go, I'm looking at this drug for application with respect to the respiratory system, and to think about how does that affect the dermatological system or the central nervous system. Whereas these machine models can do that quite effectively and come up with, have you thought about using this, for example, with Alzheimer's or with Parkinson's or with something else? And the application is enormous, because those large learning models can do that so effectively and efficiently compared to humans trying to do that research process.
Now, they talk about the analysis of X-rays and scans using artificial intelligence. You wonder whether any of this is kind of an averaging process that rather than a very precise analytical process.
So when you graduate from medical school, you were in your first year of training, you look at X-rays and you're taught a very basic system of how to examine X-rays. As you progress and you decide, I want to be a radiologist, you're now into a more focused, detailed process. But it is still a process where your mind is looking at a very specific set of steps to look at a particular X-ray to decide, is there something pathologically wrong or is this a normal image? And those steps can be taught to a machine learning module to do the same as a human would do, but to do it 24 hours a day. In the beginning, though, it depends on how much time and effort is put into the training, to train and retrain and to look at what are the normal abnormals, what are the normal variants, we call them, in the particular X-rays. And over time, it will allow then the human radiologist to be more focused on the interactions that need their attention to the patient. The more detailed discussions, the interventional form of radiology where they're doing biopsies and they're able to focus on the patient care face-to-face rather than just looking at images.
Now, when it comes to surgery, where does AI come in?
That's a more difficult one. So at the moment, we do have robotic-assisted surgeries in some of our larger hospitals where, because as humans, our fine movements technically can be quite gross. Moving a couple of millimetres here and there could be the difference in having a complication in the surgery or not. Mm-hmm. With the robotic-assisted surgery, you can actually reduce that down. So a 10-centimetre movement of your wrist might only reduce or result in a 1 millimetre movement of the robotic hand or instrument that's doing the surgery. So it can lead to dramatic reduction in complications, but it doesn't mean that the machine is actually doing the surgery itself. It's still guided by a human in the process.
But do you think that's where we're going, that in fact what you'll do is you'll do your targeting and you'll tell them, the robotic machine, this is what I want you to do and this is the area where we're going to operate, and you have a digital map and you just tell it, this is the spot, this is where the tumour begins, this is where the tumour ends, here's your instrument, off you go.
You're now into the realms of my outside of work activities in looking at science fiction TV shows. So all of the stuff that we thought was science fiction in the 50s and 60s is probably medical fact now. If you look at the old Star Trek episodes, they were talking about the medical tricorders and the types of monitoring systems they had. That's what we see in the intensive care units now. I've no doubt another 30 or 40 years that'll be much more advanced. Will the robot actually do the surgery based on a planning system from a human? It is possible, and it's certainly within the realms of, if you look at the Asimov novels, it's certainly there. It's certainly a possibility. It will take probably some brave steps for that to happen, but no doubt it's down the future. In my own circumstance, I often wondered, with the robotic-assisted surgeries, is it not possible to have your really specialised surgeon in one centre and have somebody, another surgeon, who maybe not the cardiac surgeon or the detailed vascular surgeon, but helping to assist and having the patient operated on remotely? I think that's probably coming closer than we think. So instead of having to move patients around the country, we'll actually have the expertise available through robotic-assisted surgery in regional hospitals.
I suppose if someone is doing that robotic surgery where, as you say, a movement of 10 centimetres of the wrist results in maybe in half a millimetre of movement of the cutting tool, whatever form that might take, whether it's a laser tool or whether it's a physical tool, and you're actually in the theatre but you're operating off a screen anyway, it doesn't really matter where the controller is or where the screen is, as long as there's somebody in case there's a rupture or something and the patient needs immediate resuscitation or blood or whatever it might be. You've got to have real people on hand for that. But the delicate surgery, I mean, I hate to compare it with what the Americans are doing from little porta cabins in Arkansas, they can be sending drones into Iraq.
Yeah, no, that's a particularly horrible concept in mind, what you just described. But they're doing that now. Yeah, and there are obviously less potential implications for something going badly wrong in that scenario. There's not the individual human life that you're trying to save at your what's the word, at your responsible side, where in the remote surgery, I think the fear would be that if the technical connection failed in some way, that you'd be left with a patient on a table where the surgeon is remote, the local surgeon can help with the complications but can't necessarily finish the procedure. And that may be where the fear is right now, but I have no doubt that we are 10 or 15 years away from that being a reality.
Yeah. And don't forget what the military call those kind of remote drone attacks. They call them surgical strikes.
it's an absolutely horrible phrase.
I suppose the first thing to say is that we already have kind of remote GP consultations available online where people actually talk to a real doctor. It's not too much of a stretch to think that you might be talking to a robot fairly soon. But the big thing we need is the whole idea of an individual patient identifier so that the doctors, no matter where they are in the country, know precisely what they're dealing with when someone walks in the door or comes online.
Yes, and that's something that's been sadly lacking in healthcare in Ireland for decades. We have a wonderful system now where we have digital radiology, and where I work, if you were in a different part of the country and you had x-rays the day before, I can look at them in my hospital and see, okay, we don't need to redo that x-ray. We didn't need to duplicate and waste. I can use that x-ray. It would be much handier if everybody had a single identifier. So instead of me having to search by hospital and by a different identification number for that hospital they presented to, where you had a single identifier, it would make that task so much easier. And it's not beyond the bounds of possibilities. We all have a single identifier for our PPS numbers, and there should be possible to have a modification of that to make it a healthcare identifier as well.
So finally, Mick, AI is with us, and it's probably already happening in some areas of healthcare, but it's going to be very much front and central going forward.
I think it will be. I think it's definitely going to assist our processes in making things a lot more efficient, reducing waste, increasing efficiency, and allowing for more individual patient-focused time and not having time spent on repetitive manual tasks, which could be done more efficiently by robotic-assisted systems or systems or large language-generated models.
Dr. Mick Molloy, Consultant Committee of the Irish Medical Organisation, Associate Professor in Emergency Medicine at UCD. Mick, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.